Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, I recognize that this is the day that you've made. I also recognize that you are the sovereign God. You are the one who sits on the throne. You are the one who created the universe. You are the one who created us. You are the one who redeemed us. You are the one who has forgiven us. You have been the one and continue to be the one who restores us. You are El Elyon, indeed, the one sovereign God. And Lord, it's humbling as we approach your throne today. And yet, having said that, we ask that you would show us how to live for you in a humble way. May I humble myself before you today and every day for as long as I shall live on planet Earth. Amen. Folks, this is Don Crisp, and let me wish you and your family just a great day. I trust that all is well. You are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries radio program. If you wish to contact us, indeed, our mailing address is the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. My message today is entitled The Issues of Life. This is the series that we're in, and we are now dealing with humility. Last week we addressed the issue of pride, a problem that all of us have to deal with. You know, it's interesting when we think of pride, is it not? Even as we sit back and we think of some of the things we say, oh, I'm so proud of my family, I'm so proud of my marriage, I'm so proud of my children, I'm so proud of my profession, I'm so proud of the fact that I'm a child of God, I'm so proud of the fact of the church I belong to, I'm so proud of the ministry the Lord gives me. Yes, and what a challenge that is to separate a healthy pride from unhealthy pride. And we dealt with that last week. But, you know, when we talk about humility, I'm also referring to this or entitling this message, The Call to Fall. I think it's an appropriate title, The Call to Fall. We need to learn how to humble ourselves and to fall before the Almighty God in an attitude of worship. Last thought about pride, I heard a message or an illustration of a turtle in Canada. He wanted to winter in Florida, a snowbird indeed. Since it was too far to walk, he convinced two geese to tie a rope around their necks and to fly south while he hung on with his vice-like jaws clamped onto the rope. As they crossed the U.S. border from Canada, some other geese joined the formation, impressed with the get-up. One said to the other geese, "Hey, who thought of this brilliant idea? It's incredible. It's so brilliant." Immediately, the turtle opened his mouth to say, "It wasn't them. It was me." And he fell to his death. That's what pride will do to you. Pride comes before every downfall. Do you remember the old Mac Davis song? "Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day." We all know a lot of people like that, don't we? "To know me is to love me. I must be really a great man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can." Or how about the one who says every morning, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most humble of us all?" Or, indeed, I've heard people even sing, "To know me is to love, love, love me, and I do." Yes, I do. Well, enough of that. The reality is that we all know what pride is. We all know that we must beware of the difference between egotism and, indeed, being Christ-centered. Christo-centered versus egocentric. Yes, I want to speak to you about the call to fall, about humility. Is it interesting, of all the things the Lord could say to each of us, and he said to his people Israel, he says to his people today, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he's telling them, look, if you want me to hear your prayers and forgive your sins and to heal your land, there's four things you need to do. And notice what the first thing is. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people which are called by my name will what? Number one? Humble themselves. Humble themselves. That's the call to fall. Humble themselves and then pray. Thirdly, seek my face. Fourthly, turn from their wicked ways. You know, we often focus on prayer. We focus on seeking his face by getting into God's word. And we focus on repentance, turning from our wicked ways, presuming that he'll hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our lands. But let's remember the first step. It's the most difficult step is to humble ourselves. The Bible says in Psalm 25, verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right. He guides the humble in what is right. That's so difficult, isn't it, to be humble? He'll guide us, the humble, in what is right. What that means is we need to learn, gentlemen, are you listening? We need to learn to pull over for directions. Spiritually speaking, of course, we all need to do that. We need to learn to pull over for directions and say, Lord, I need to humble myself. I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going. I thought I did, but I seem to be lost again. I seem to have wandered away again. Lord, would you help me? Would you just give me the directions that I need at this time? Scripture describes him as the shepherd, and we are the sheep. The shepherd is the one who directs us. Throughout the Old Testament and the New, it's very clear that the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, is the one who leads, guides, and provides. He says, follow me, and we are to do that. We're not to be the leader. We're to be the follower. We need to develop the list of fellowship. That takes a humble spirit to be able to do something like that, to buy into something like that. And I trust that we will be able to do that. That's our prayer for the day. Yes, Psalm 25, he guides the humble in what is right. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. You know what that means? We need to abandon our pride. We need to abandon the illusion that we need to be self-assertive. Time to stop taking those courses, people. What we need to do is sign up for humility courses. I don't think they're offering any of those. We need to be determined to be people who are gentle and kind. You know what that means? It means seeing life from other people's perspective. It means overlooking their flaws or their faults and coming alongside of them and being gentle and saying, how can I help? How can I come alongside of you? And indeed, it means allowing people to come alongside of us so that we can receive the help we need. We need to be completely humble and gentle. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, not before society, not before humanity. Often we do that. You know, there's false humility, and we often do that almost to say, look at me, I'm humbling myself. No, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, would you initiate this for me? Would you humble me? The first point I want us to look at today, it's a stark statement. It's a profound statement. It's a statement that the whole world reacts to in four different ways. You will see a reaction of anger, a reaction of apathy, a reaction of acting, and a reaction of acceptance. Here's the statement. Are you ready? Humility is a proper attitude of dependence upon and submission to God. Humility is a proper attitude. A proper attitude of dependence upon and submission to God. And I want to suggest to you that the world reacts to that statement in four different ways. Do you understand the question? Can you today say, yes, I see the need to be totally dependent upon God. I see the need to be so totally submissive to God. That goes in the face of, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm not in control? What do you mean I'm not to be in control? What do you mean that I have to submit to someone else's will for my life? Therefore, the first reaction is one of anger. We see people so angry about that. Senators say, no one's going to tell me how to live. No one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what not to do. I will not show dependence upon God and His Bible and His dictates and His commands. I will not submit. You know what? It takes a humble heart, a humble mind, a humble spirit to understand that we must bow before the living God. That's the call to fall. We must fall before Him and say, you know what? I need to pull over for directions right now. I need to humble myself completely before You, Lord. The reality is that anger will do that. That will cause us to say, there's no way I'm going to allow someone, particularly this God of the Bible, to run my life. I'm in charge. The second reaction is one of apathy. You know, we live in a whatever world, a world that says, we say, well, what about this challenge or that challenge? And the response is, whatever. We live in a world of apathy. Yes, there are those who respond or react to that statement about dependence upon God and submission to God with anger. But you know, a lot of people respond that way with apathy. I think of the Christmas story, how the Magi came to King Herod. He checked it out with the wisest religious minds of that day about where the Messiah would be born. They informed King Herod, oh, it's just down in Bethlehem, just 6-7 miles down the road, no problem. And they directed the Magi to go down there. Isn't it interesting that they didn't go? They knew the prophecy. They could see the star. They knew something was happening. They didn't bother making the trip. They were just apathetic. The reality, they loved the power that they had. They loved the influence that they have in people's head and people's lives. They really were too comfortable. This whole concept of having an attitude of dependence upon and submission to God caused them to say, you know what, we really don't care. And we see that in the world today. Thirdly, we see people acting. We see people literally acting. It's an incredible thing. And the word acting, by the way, comes from the word hypocrisy. Do you know what the word hypocrisy means? It means actor. It means acting. We see so many people pretending, pretending to be submissive, pretending to be humble, pretending to say, Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done. Just pretending to say, Lord, You lead and I'll be sure to follow. People who are acting, oh yes, I will show my dependence and submission to God. But in reality, in their life, they're not. On Sundays they do, but throughout the week they're not. Why? Because they're acting. And then, of course, we have acceptance. Acceptance. Yes, there's anger, there's apathy, there's acting, and there's also acceptance. This is the person who looks and says, you know, Lord, it's not about me, it is about You, and I do trust You completely, and I do choose to fall before You. I do choose to humble myself before the living God. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Here's a truth. We must allow God to be control in our lives. We must allow God to control our lives. We must release the urge to believe that we are in control. We must relinquish the illusion that we are in control. There's so many of us believe we are, and we're not. What can we really control? You see, we are the finite, and the finite must come to terms with submitting and surrendering to the infinite control of the living God. Oh, Lord, would You show us who we are in comparison to who You are? Just to see and to have a glimpse will cause us to fall before You. Folks, the reality is that humility is having a proper attitude of dependence and submission to God. Secondly, humility is trusting God. You know, humility is an exclusive Jewish virtue. In the ancient philosophers of that day, in the Greek culture of that day, they admired self-reliance. They admired a person's pride. They did not admire humility. That was a Jewish virtue. Here's some truths. Humility is a proper attitude of dependence upon and submission to God. Humility is literally trusting God. Humility is also, thirdly, a discipline. It is a discipline. Aristotle said, humility is the middle ground between anger and indifference, between anger and apathy. Humility is the middle ground between anger and apathy. Do you believe that? You know, our reaction in life is we see people who are apathetic. We see people who are angry. The middle ground is indeed humility. You know, there are times when we need to be angry. There are times where we need to be apathetic. What does that mean? It means that apathy means that where we look and we say we do not want to be in control. We want to resist that. Let me rephrase that. The reality is that when we resist an apathetic attitude, it means that we are stating that we could see ourselves that way, but we realize we need to have balance in our life. That's that middle ground. That's humility, the middle ground, and most of us need to get there. Humility is more than an attitude. You know what? It's an action. Sometimes we think humility means I know I'm not going to be angry and I'm not going to be apathetic. I'm going to do nothing. That's not what it means. Humility means having an attitude in action. Attitude determines action. If my people, now notice what we have to do, who are called by my name, that notice they have to do something. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. They need to do something. They need to avoid being angry. They need to avoid being apathetic, but they do need to choose to be humble, to pray, to seek, and to turn. And then God says, then I'll hear your prayer. I will forgive your sin. And indeed, believe it or not, I will heal your land. In order to be heard, in order to be forgiven, in order to be healed, we must be faithful and consistent in turning, seeking, and praying. And the key to doing that is by humbling ourselves each day, standing in that circle and saying, it's me, O Lord, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now let's look at a prototype of how not to be humble. Scripture will help us here as we realize God describes a person that we would know as Diabolos, the devil. This is found in Ezekiel chapter 28. Let me describe what the scripture says about him. It says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade you filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to earth. I made a spectacle of you before the kings. What did we just learn? We learned that Satan, or Diabolos, the evil one, was the model of perfection. He was full of wisdom. He was perfect in beauty, blameless in all his ways. We learned that. We learned that his heart became proud and on account of his beauty. His heart became proud on account of his beauty. Well, there's a message for our world today. We focus so much on beauty. We focus so much on wisdom, on being so wise. The Bible says, professing to be wise, they became fools. But look at our culture today. We focus on beauty. With Satan, what was his downfall? His heart became proud on account of your beauty. Now, let me just say one thing about pride again. C.S. Lewis said it. You look at all the other sins. He says, all the other sins are like flea bites when it comes to the sin of pride. Now, notice the connection between the sin of pride. Satan became proud because of his beauty. And therefore, what happened? It corrupted his wisdom. It corrupted his wisdom. In what way? Well, I want to show you this. This is called what I would call the five I wills. What happened because his wisdom had become corrupted on because of the pride, which was caused by his beauty, what happened is he began to express himself as to what he really wanted. And I believe this is rightly called the five I wills from Isaiah chapter 14. Listen to it, the written word of God. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise up my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Did you catch those five I wills? I will ascend to heaven. I will raise up my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Well, there you have it. A very interesting, isn't it? Made in perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, blameless in all his ways. But his heart became proud on account of his beauty, and it corrupted his wisdom. And suddenly he makes these statements before God, and he is thrown out of the garden. He is thrown out of heaven, and we see him rise once again in the garden to corrupt Adam and Eve. Oh, folks, we have to be so careful. We have to be so focused on being humble before the Lord and not allow pride to come into our lives. I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 11, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Matthew chapter 11, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he says, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now listen, these were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand this, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created the universe, the one who is the Savior of the world, the one who came amongst us, born of Mary. The scriptures say, what did he do? Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself and took the form of a servant. He knew that he was Calvary bound, that he would lay his life down. He would humble himself and allow them to torture him and crucify him as he would demonstrate his love on the cross and pay for the sins of the world, opening his arms and saying, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And notice how he describes himself, folks. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My friends, he's our role model. He's our prototype. He's the one that leads, and we are to follow his example when it comes to humility. How important it is that we do these things. Would you pray with me right now, my friends? Our Heavenly Father, as we look at Jesus Christ who chose to humble himself, as we look to him, we realize he's the role model. He's the one who is gentle of heart. He's the one who is humble. He's the one who surrendered his will to your will. And Lord, we want to follow his example. Today we need to humble ourselves before you, surrender our will to your will, and say, Lord, let's do it your way. I need to pull over for directions every day and say, Lord, you lead, I'll follow. You show me what you want, Father, to do. I need you to part the waters. I need you every hour of the day. I need you to lead, and I commit myself to follow. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Be Lord, not just Savior. I need you as Lord as well, Lord of all. And I ask our Heavenly Father that I would submit to you every day and every hour and every moment. Amen. My friends, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being faithful listeners. And your prayerful and financial support of this radio ministry is so needed. As we begin a new year together, we need to do this together as a team. Yes, it's hard to believe we're so early into the year, and yet the financial challenges are set before us. Now look, if you believe that these messages need to be heard by those who already believe and by those who are yet to believe, that I need you to add your financial support to your prayer support. Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first. And then after that, I'm simply asking you to stop, think, and pray, and see if God is leading you to support the Good News Christian Ministries. And if so, would you make a check out payable to the Good News Christian Ministries? Send it to Box 184, Riedel Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. You know, we often presume that everyone else is going to do it, and we forget to do that ourselves. We just go from month to month as far as being able to pay the bills to make this program possible. So we need you to pray about this, and if God moves your heart, I trust that He'll also move your pen to write that check. And we want to encourage you to tell others to listen to this program. You can listen to it each Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on CFRA, that's 5:80 a.m., or on Rogers Cable, 927, or online at CFRA.com, or go during the week anytime, really, to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on Broadcast. Now, my friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. May you emulate the humility of Jesus Christ. The words, "When I think I'm going under, I need to look up to the one who can save me. When I think I'm going under, I need to cry out, I need you every hour, I need you every hour." Yes, in a spirit of humility, let's listen to Selah singing, "Part the Waters, I Need You Every Hour." Amen.
When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord. When I feel the waves around me calm the sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.